Coming up on this edition of the Golf Digest podcast, we review the match between Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson.
My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
Well, why do they even have one if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
What is this, custom? Mine's off the rack.
I wish Tiger Woods was here to help me with this.
We'll do it live!
Welcome back to the Golf Digest podcast. I'm Alex Myers. Today I'm joined by Sam Wyman, Keely Levins. Guys, it was an interesting Thanksgiving weekend. Obviously, we had the match between Tiger and Phil Mickelson, Capital One's the match, Tiger versus Phil. Obviously, we all watched it. We were all into it. What, Sam, off the bat, you know, there was so much hype for this thing. You know, did it live up to the hype?
Well, no, I don't think it lived up to that. If the bar was for it to be this sort of transcendent golf event between two huge stars of the game, this was sort of underwhelming. What I will say was it was a much-hyped golf event that was vastly entertaining that I would say was worth the money, both because for intentional entertainment value and unintentional comedy that arose from it. You know, it has us talking about golf in November, and I think there is a blueprint for follow-up type of events like this. So, you know, I don't want to be one of those curmudgeons who thinks it was a dud, because I don't think it was. I think it was right. Entertaining. I just don't think that, you know, the golf wasn't very good, so that's the first thing.
Right.
And the sort of, you know, I'm sure we'll touch upon this as well, like the banter between the two guys. We're looking for this sort of fly on the wall experience of seeing these two guys yucking it up. It just was so forced and in spots that it never really came to fruition. But again, I was entertained.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what kind of golf you're going to get, and obviously it's not a good sign when Charles Barkley is criticizing and calling it crappy
Loved
golf.
That.
Because it really was crappy golf on the front nine. The course was not set up that particularly hard or anything, mm-hmm. and these guys are very familiar with it. But taking that out of the equation, because you can't count on them both playing great. At least it was competitive, right, Keely? I mean,
It was. I think that we were, you know, I think a lot of us were on the same page in that we were very excited for this, but we also knew that, you know, with all the parallels of this between like a boxing match, like this was not going to stand up in the same way. As someone who watched all of the Rocky movies over the break, I can honestly say that it is
first
very
time.
No.
Oh, good.
Like 10th time,
okay.
Please.
Right,
does
that include Creed or just
of course,
Rocky?
Both, okay. Both
Creed
Creeds.
Is great. Oh, you saw the new one?
Of course.
Oh,
wow, you went
good.
Deep.
Yeah, guys, I don't mess around. Committed.
All right.
But anyway, so I think that like we all kind of knew that there would be parts of this that would fall flat. And it did.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it was a different experience that was, as Sam said, entertaining. Like, under the lights, that was different. I appreciated that. And there were some good back and forth moments between Tiger and Phil. I did enjoy watching that much money being exchanged. And I think that there's also, you know, a lot of things that we can learn from it when this format is continued, hopefully, in the future.
You know, one thing that we didn't talk about was the fact that I think one of the reasons why the golf was so bad is I think these guys were genuinely nervous. You know, if it was sort of a total hit and giggle type of event where there's not a lot on the line, maybe they play a little bit better. But
right. The
both expectation of wanting to beat each other, wanting to win $9 million, knowing there was a lot riding on this event being a success, I think you didn't see their best golf, which is maybe in a strange way an endorsement of it having some significance.
Do you think it was nerves or do you think it was the time of year?
I mean, it's probably a mixture, but I think they were definitely both nervous.
Phil, especially, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, when Phil made that final putt, I mean, he looked so relieved.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's over.
Yeah, I know he just won $9 million and he beat Tiger Woods. But I thought they were both nervous. And I think you're right. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, this isn't that much money to them. $9 million is still a lot of money to them. I mean, Phil makes about, what, $40 million a year, Tiger about the same ballpark. I mean, Tiger used to make three times that. But still, if you're making $40 million a year, I mean, $9 million is a big chunk of that.
It's $9 million additive to whatever they're doing.
Exactly.
So suddenly you can get that living room set that you were holding off on buying.
Exactly. So, I think they were both really nervous. Keely, you mentioned the under the lights, and that did make it different. and we were told this was going to be so different. A lot of times, though, I did kind of feel it was just kind of a normal golf event. I don't know why.
Really? I feel like I like the lights more than anybody else in the office.
I hated that it ended on this manufactured hole when you supposedly are playing on this great golf course, which even the 17th hole is this picturesque par three. Why couldn't they just light up one par three?
Right.
Totally. Why do they have to make up
and
a
then
hole?
They wait in that awkward delay when they're cutting a hole in the green or waiting around.
Right, they cut a hole
why
in the
just,
green.
Yeah, or just do them like, you
just
know,
hit it to the right hole.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was
that
so
was weird.
Weird.
Right.
It was this delay. And then, you know, I assume, and we can debate whether or not, you know, there's conspiracy theories out there. If they were actually playing for $9 million or if they'd kind of like wink, wink, chop some of the pot. That happens at, you know, poker tournaments, for instance. They obviously were playing for a lot, but you have to figure that they practiced that shot.
Right.
You
wouldn't think Tiger did, and he's teeing it up all weird with the lob wedge and everything. But you can't, how do you have something that's that much worth that much come down to this?
Yeah, that was a big miss. I read somewhere that someone was saying, "Well, you can't really grade it on a golf level because it wasn't really golf." Well, what part of it wasn't?
I don't understand.
People kept
saying that too. They're like, "This isn't golf. This is entertainment." I'm like,
"Okay,
they're playing golf.
Yeah.
If you were a casual fan, you still liked it. If you don't like golf, you wouldn't have liked it because they're playing golf.
Right.
So I don't. I agree. I saw that. You know, I wanted to bring up the complaints because I know I just complained. We both, Sam and I, agree. Keely doesn't. That the finish was stupid with the made up hole. But the other complaints that were out there, to me, it drove me nuts. It almost made me like it more.
Yeah.
People complaining that it was taking away from the World Cup of golf. Are you
oh
serious?
Oh my God.
Please.
First of all,
did they have that complaint about the Skins game?
Exactly. And right. That's what I countered to some unnamed people. But first of all, even with it going 22 quote holes, it wrapped up by 8 o'clock. That's when the World Cup of Golf came on.
Right.
And you could almost argue that someone who was watching golf all day, maybe they're even in golf mode, they flipped that on as well. But it did not overlap with the World Cup of Golf, which was in Australia, mm-hmm. and which Tiger and Phil haven't played in about 2 decades. They're not going to be there anyway. Nobody wants to play in that event. Sorry, they
right.
don't. So don't say that. You know, people complaining about the conceded putts. I mean,
sure.
I thought it was pretty classy
that.
To do
yeah.
that. I mean, you really don't want to win on a, you know, someone missing a gagging on a 3-footer. Now, again, the one Phil gave Tiger back in the playoff was a little longer, but he, you know, he felt kind of obligated, I think, probably because Tiger gave him the one. I was stunned when Tiger gave him the first putt. I really was.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really classy. I don't know. I thought that there were people out there who, no matter what happened, were going to knock it.
Well, first sure. of all, I would argue that the people who complain about the match are the same people who complain about the FedEx Cup and
yeah.
complain about the President's Cup, which, you know, there's some validity, because what you're saying is you're introducing this new idea and you're introducing it as this tectonic shift
yeah.
in the game. And so by that standard, you have a right as a viewer to be skeptical and poke holes on it. But again, if you're comparing it to the alternative of right now, November 23rd, what was out there, and again, not the World of Golf. It was additive. It was something new,
right?
Brought to the conversation. Same way, in, you know, on Labor Day weekend, the FedEx Cup
mm-hmm.
compared to the Labor Day weekend
yeah.
11 years ago or 12 years ago, you didn't have the same level of excitement. It's definitely better.
Right.
So. It's just such an easy thing to poke holes in, because, again, they bring it upon themselves because they're saying it's the biggest thing in the world, and there's, you know, it's two really rich guys making $9 million.
Right, right,
I
right,
get
right.
all of that.
Right, right, right.
I do. But it gives us something to talk about. It's entertaining. And if you love seeing the two of the best players of all time battling for something that matters to
right.
them, you know, I still would watch it.
Yeah, the money thing you just brought up, that was another complaint. It was like, these guys don't need the money, and they're playing, you know, it's ridiculous. And look how little the purses are on the European Challenge Tour, and now they're playing for this. Who cares? They deserve this in a way. If it happened, it's because people were putting up the money
sure.
for them.
Right.
And then, yeah, that was, oh, who I'd rather see, you know, Jack and Gary Player play for not. No, you wouldn't. Stop. Stop it. These are the only two guys who could possibly pull this off. Not even close.
Really?
Who else could pull this off?
getting people interested to watch.
Who else would pull it off where they do a $9 million purse for
Well,
ti-
I think
for
Tiger with someone else
okay,
could make it.
Yeah.
All right.
You
right.
can't. You
Tiger
can't.
And you might even be able to pull it. But fine. So you need Tiger. But my point is people are like, take, you know, I don't want to see Tiger and Phil. They're washed up, whatever. It doesn't matter if they're washed right. up. They're still the only two guys who would do this. Or again, well, Tiger's the only guy who could do this. And people, washed up. Tiger would be number right. five in the world if you just took world rankings this year. He's not washed up. Anyway, all right, I'm sorry. I'm getting mad. But I hated the complainers. I really
well,
did.
It's the same people who complain about athletes who make too much money.
Right.
Well, that's what the market
that's
demands.
That's what the market yes. demands. Exactly. And stop. Just tune it out. Stop complaining. They were complaining throughout the thing. Anyway, all right. Keely, you're back to...
You take a moment. We should.
What,
deep breaths.
Yeah. I mean, did you have a problem with the nine? I will say no. the pictures... beforehand when they're grabbing the $9 million
yeah, it's a little
it,
much.
A little
it got a little
much,
silly
a little much but again they do that with the poker tournaments, the World Series of Poker. I mean they show the money they show the money now with the LPGA
at
the $1 million box of
yep.
cash. So it's not, people made it like this was crazy. I just don't
it really no it really didn't bother me okay. either. And I think that yeah I think that you earn what your market value is.
Right.
Like, I don't think anyone can really complain.
My wife came into the room and she's like, it's so disgusting they're playing for $9 million. Which, you know, just on
yeah.
the surface, you
yeah.
can understand there's so many more important things in the world.
Of
but, you
course.
Know, these, okay, I get that.
Sure.
And obviously more money than these guys deserve to make for playing golf, but they're two charitable people who are
right.
going to use some of that money
they're
is going to go
give it away.
To their
yeah.
causes. So I understand that it's not, all things being equal, there are more worthy causes
of
in the
course.
World. But again, if someone's willing to pay them that much money
right.
to play it, and you're willing to...
And, like, see, all these people are willing to put up $20, like,
right.
it's going to be... Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, obviously, we're going to talk to Dave Shedlaski, who was there for us. We'll get some thoughts from him on the match. But I wanted to talk about a couple of the other people who were there. The broadcast crew.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know... There was. I was worried about this last week, that there were too many people, too many cooks in the kitchen. We wanted to hear Tiger and Phil, and kind of the worst fear came true in that the announcers, in particular, Peter Jacobson, was getting crushed on Twitter. I mean, don't check your mentions, Jake, because you got roasted. What were you guys feeling the same way?
Yeah, and I go back to what I said before, which is that you were setting the bar so high for this. This is supposed
yes.
to be this completely new experience. And
yep.
I do feel like the opportunity was there to sort of
mm-hmm.
flip the model on its head and do something completely different
mm-hmm.
with how you present golf on TV. Especially, you have two guys. There's so many ways to make it more interesting, both in people talking, in camera angles, in
mm-hmm.
some of the statistical
yep.
opportunities and graphics. And again, I'm not in the television business. I understand it's an extremely difficult thing to broadcast to do. You know, and there's some certain, you know, I was talking about this with someone who's like, if you miss some basic things, you really get annoyed, right? So if
right.
you're starting mm-hmm. to show some cool camera angle and you don't, you know, you can't see the guy putting, whatever it
right.
is, that's more jarring than if it's just kind of, you know, standard. So
mm-hmm.
I understand that. But I just feel like there was an opportunity to do something unique. I made the mention, we were talking offline, about the drone view of one of the
mm-hmm.
putts they had from above.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
kind of underscored to me, why not do that more? Why
yeah.
not show the golf from a different angle? Because you can. There's two golfers on the course.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought from a broadcasting standpoint, there were just too many times that it got kind of awkward and forced with, I feel like there was a ton of pressure on Tiger and Phil to talk.
To interact.
And to
yeah.
be, you know, not only like funny, but also be aggressive. And it just seemed like maybe they could have even used some sort of coaching.
Yeah.
Or like they should have gone through something with the guys that were on the ground who were like popping in to interview them really quickly. Like some of that.
Yeah, they should
just
have some baked in things they could talk
yes,
about right away.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, your favorite Thanksgiving golf memory, like whatever, something
yeah.
better than that, obviously. But just some preset things as opposed to
right.
just the usual questions midstream.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think the problem is that, you know, they're friendly now. Let's not, but they're not like best friends.
No, I get
and,
it.
And not that Tiger has that many close
friends
to begin with. No, you don't, but like, they just don't have a natural back and forth Like, and that's why some people are saying, well, maybe the next one you bring in teammates, or you even if you make them teammates versus a couple of younger guys who are good friends, like, you get a little more banter going on.
Take the pressure off of just the two of them to create something.
Right, especially too. I mean, if they hit to different spots and they're kind of walking, you know, were they supposed to always walk together to the next hole? It was a little awkward. But what was annoying, again, though, was those few times they were walking together and they were talking. And again, even if it was awkward conversation, I still would rather hear that than Peter Jacobson jumping in. Or like when Phil was talking to Mark Russell about the rules next year. That was interesting. I mean, maybe if you're not a golf fan, that wasn't interesting. But I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. And they cut that off. So, if there's dead air, that's when you fill in with maybe the normal stuff. But it seemed like they were cutting the guys off. I don't know. Pat Perez seemed to draw good response from people.
He's a fresh voice.
And he's generally liked.
Yeah, he's fun
by fans.
Barkley was interesting. He was obviously more on the pregame show, but I thought he was pretty funny,
stirring up shit during the match. Though I appreciated that.
He was with the crappy golf comment. So you know, again, there were different things, and there were different things that worked, and there were different things that didn't work. But
here's a question, which is, you know, on Thursday or Friday morning, we went into this event assuming there would be a second one of these. Based on what you saw on Friday afternoon, did that help that cause or hurt that cause?
I think overall it helped it. I'm agreeing with you, Sam. It didn't quite live up to the hype because it wasn't that innovative, really, when you look at it from the whole, and they didn't play well. But I'm telling you, and I know we talked about this, I mean, from just the interest that we saw online, like coming to stories that we did, you know, on Twitter. I mean, I actually thought a lot. I know a few people who I never in a million years would think they ordered it. They texted me to tell me they ordered it. I mean, I hope they got their money back.
Like supporting you. You think the money goes to you?
I know. But like, I had friends talking about it. I mean, put it this way, they would literally never in a million years be talking about golf on a Friday, let alone a Friday after Thanksgiving.
This is the first time people have talked about golf on the Friday after Thanksgiving since another time we talked about golf on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Exactly. A much worse time 9 years ago, also involving Tigers. So,
I mean, I think it's like there was a morsel there's a nugget of a good idea there. Yeah. And all the things we're talking about right now that we're complaining about are mostly things that we feel like can be improved upon.
Right.
Not like it's a lost cause, but like,
definitely.
You know, if they just did this and kind of tweaked this and did this, it would make it better. So,
right. There's a little, maybe, I don't, you know, I hate to say it's a problem, but the PGA Tour still has some sort of control over this event, which I think they should, as you know, those are players. They don't want the players to just start doing whatever, and then the PGA Tour becomes irrelevant. So I understand there. But one aspect that we just kept hearing was going to be so cool were these side bets. And now it comes out after the fact that the PGA Tour limited number of side bets. So here we're sitting there like, come on, Tiger. Come on, Phil. Like, get into it. And you know, Phil was initiating most of them. Tiger just was, you know, I mean, he's focused on winning, and I don't blame him. But it now comes out that the PGA Tour limited that. Obviously, they changed the purse from the 10 to the 9 million. You know, that's not that big a deal. But, you know, were you disappointed in the lack of the side betting?
Yeah, I just feel like that was a bit of a miss. It was so forced, and like they should have had a way where it was it was automatic, where right away every time there was a, you know, two balls in the fairway, you had it closest to the pin, or some type of way that it was just sort of activated without this sort of awkward exchange between the two of them. You know, talking about the tour and the tour's oversight, and it's easy again for me to say from afar, but you know, they don't want to be in this position where this match renders the PGA Tour obsolete.
Exactly. Suddenly,
But again, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, again, you have friends who order this event who don't normally, you know, aren't watching a ton of golf. Well, now they have a sudden context and interest in these two guys. And the next time, you know, they're playing at Torrey Pines, the Farmers Insurance, suddenly you have a frame of reference and you can go back to, and you have enhanced interest in the PGA Tour. I mean, I always subscribe to that belief. Like, we've always talked about that. The more, you know, it raises all boats when something like this happens. So, you know, the tour has to, you know, it's certainly proprietary of their properties.
Right.
I understand that. But I just feel like if they take the long view, and I think they probably ultimately did, they would understand that this is ultimately a good thing for the tour.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you also have to wonder, though, what this whole pay-per-view bogey thing will, if it messes up whether there's a rematch or whatever. Again, I think we all think there will be some sort of rematch.
I think there will be
reincarnation
something
of it.
But they're going to have trouble charging people for
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So they kind of blew it with the $20. They lost a lot of money, I'm sure. And we're not going to really know how many people were going to buy it because a lot of people were trying to and couldn't. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people ended up getting it for free, mm-hmm. which if everybody knew it was for free to begin with, then we would have seen more people watch. So like all the numbers are going to be kind of screwed
up. We should
up.
Probably at one point for the podcast get like a streaming sports expert about this because this is like yeah. the new frontier. But all the sort of elements that we
yeah.
probably aren't even considering that go into it because it's still this whole idea is in its infancy and you're going to see more and more of it over time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just going to ultimately be a lot of growing pains and it's, you know, it's going to yeah. be figured out over time.
How did you watch it?
I watched it on ordered it through Optimum, so through cable.
Oh, you did. So yeah. you actually so you plunked the money down.
I did.
See, I should have just done that.
Right.
We had a few of these codes, and I was like, "All right, I'll save the company $20." Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I could have just and so well, you probably get a refund anyway. Not that you're going to be going crazy to get it, but anyway, I ended up doing it. I ordered it online on my TV.
Okay.
And it literally took me 20 minutes.
Are you serious?
Because I had to type in a million things with like on a remote. It was so I was dying. So by the time I got I was like
we should have live streamed you yeah. doing
that would be great.
That.
That's entertainment.
I wanted it yeah. on you know a TV. I didn't want to watch it on my computer.
You have a smart TV?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought you this so I like web browsed. I had to type in like oh the website, God. Then I had to type in like all my info.
I can picture this.
The,
I mean
the code alone. Did you see the code they gave us?
The amount
it was like
of
50 characters.
Not
long.
To make fun of my parents, but like the amount of discussion I had with my parents
yeah.
about ordering it and like
oh,
what
yeah.
they were flabbergasted. That you could order it through Optimum because that was
oh,
the whole discussion point.
That, so. Meanwhile, right, I just found it on the guide. I could have just clicked it and hit
right.
charge me.
Order, yeah.
But right. then I would have had to like fill out an expense.
No, I will, or you could just pay $20 for great entertainment.
Or you could have just watched it for free on Bleacher Report.
I didn't want to watch it on the computer.
Yeah, that was my big thing.
Okay, all kidding aside though.
We had it on the computer and just mirrored it onto the TV.
All right.
I don't know how to do that, but that's smart. That,
magic, mostly.
People always tell me that too, and I should know how to
my
do
little
that.
Brother did it. I had no idea.
$20. It's tough to say, of course I would have paid it, but, you know, we did get it kind of for free or whatever, and everybody ended up getting it free. Would you pay it? Would you have actually paid your own 20, and would you do it again?
Yeah, I would. I mean, okay. for sure. It's entertainment. I mean, think
yeah.
about the number of bad movies you go see for $20.
Right.
Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, we had, at my house, we had six people
okay.
watching it
well, that makes
for
it worth
$20.
Yeah.
It was an event.
Yeah.
On a Friday afternoon,
yeah.
it was you know it was fun theater.
Yeah,
you know it's like if they said suddenly, hey, you have to pay $20 for the Super Bowl or pay $20 for the AFC Championship.
Right,
you would do that because
yeah,
it's you know it's a
yeah.
people like watching sports live with their
yeah.
friends. I thought it was a fun event.
Yeah.
And I think that like every country club should have had it at their
oh
bar
my gosh.
Too. Like mm-hmm. there's no reason to not pay $20 to hang out with like five friends. Then you're all spending what $3 in some sense math
mm-hmm.
but yeah no I still I mean even though we ended up getting it for free I think in the future I would still put down $20. I don't know if I can say that about the general public though, like do you think this is going to have a super negative effect?
Well that's what we're talking when you're talking about the actual technical elements
the technical
of
elements yeah so now are people just
it's not helping
be
but
like,
I do think that over time it's gonna force whoever the you know the parties are Turner Bleacher Report to get this stuff figured out. And, you know, it's going to force them to realize where the pain points are and how they have to address it. So
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be like this forever. I'm sure at some point when the first pay-per-view boxing match
yeah.
happened online, it was the same thing.
Yep, probably. All right, well, anyway, let's hear from Dave Shedlaski, who was at the match at Shadow Creek covering it for Golf Digest. And here's what Dave had to say. All right, we're happy to welcome Dave Shedlaski to the podcast. Dave, obviously you were out there for us all week. What were your overall impression? Did the match live up to the hype?
Well, unfortunately, Alex, it wasn't even close, and that's too bad. I mean, there certainly was an atmosphere of drama, but that's inherent in any golf match that you find. This was supposed to be something different. This was supposed to have elements that you know that were going to draw us in and bring us closer to the players, and we're going to hear trash talk, and we're going to hear banter, and we're going to hear more caddy player conversations, which obviously we did a little bit with Phil, but by and large, we got Shell's Wonderful World of Golf with some drones and a couple other little niceties, including the betting odds, and no, it certainly didn't live up to the billing.
You know, when we were watching on TV, certainly we formed our own impressions of how it compared or didn't compare to, you know, just a regular golf event. But being there on the grounds, obviously not watching the broadcast as it was happening, you were already having that sense that it kind of fell into the mold of previous events?
Yeah, I did. I just kept saying, how is this different from what we've seen before? I kept thinking that in my head. I thought there was intrigue. That was great. I loved the side bets. I wish there could have been more of them, and I think wish they actually could have been smaller in some ways and more frequent to make them, I don't know, a little more compelling. The large aspect of the side bets, there were such high odds on somebody having to pay out on them because some of them were kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, there are certain things I liked about it, but I kept saying, well, haven't we all seen this before? I just got more of a deja vu instead of, wow, this is truly amazing and different and groundbreaking.
And Dave, did that differ, like, you know, when you were early week, when you were around them beforehand or just leading in, did it feel like it had the potential to be different?
It did, because that, and I wrote that, Sam, the other day, is that, you know, there was some good trash talking and banter, and, you know, I mean, there was some good stuff leading into it from these two guys and talking about different things. I mean, Tiger, saying that he's lived in Phil's head for 20-something years, and Phil, you know, making, his comments, and you thought, wow, okay, these guys are trying, and it sounds like they've got this thing, you know, headed in the right direction, but it just kind of just ceased when they started playing golf. And part of that obviously was that Tiger struggled early.
Right.
Phil couldn't really find an opening, he didn't want to punch down to Tiger at that point. And it just, there just wasn't that much there other than, hey, you know, we're playing for $9 million and we're pretty nervous about it.
Do you think that, you know, obviously so much has been made of their relationship and how they're better friends now, which they obviously are, to be able to come together for something like this. But do you think that, you know, the lack of relationship that they really do have hurt the banter in any ways?
I think you're right. Yeah. Totally, Alex. I think that they've actually gotten a little closer. They said Phil just he was pulling his punches. I mean, he didn't at the end. He obviously was like, hey, I got this over you, Tiger. But that was at the end. It wasn't in the middle of the, you know, the heat of the battle when it could have been really kind of, you know, awkward and actually uncomfortable if somebody was going to, you know, start, you know, throwing down some comments. And I really think that's what people wanted to see is like, I mean, the premise from the beginning, as Brian Zurb explained to me with Jack Wiggum, the CAA guy and his colleague in Hollywood, is that, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had a match where guys were talking smack?
Right.
And aside that, and, you know, doing all these different things, if it was truly played like we do on a weekend or whatever, and we didn't even get close to that. We got Jack and Arnie being nice to each other, trying to beat each other, as, 40 years ago or 50 years ago at Shell's Wonderful World, and we don't need that. We do not need that again.
You know, talk to me, Dave, about who was there, kind of the vibe on the grounds. Like, you know, that was the question that I kept getting from people, like, you know, other than, you know, media like yourself. It was like, who are the people who were there? And, like, how did those people get on the grounds, that type of thing?
Well, I could tell you, first of all, that my son Alex Shedlovsky was on the ground because he has a very, very connected father who got him a VIP pass.
Very good.
That was very kind of Turner to do that at the last minute. No, you know who was there? The well-heeled were there. We had Saturday Night Live's former star Norm MacDonald, and we had Ben Stiller there, and of course Samuel L. Jackson was doing the pregame, and he was wandering around a little bit too, and Charles Barkley. We had Chris Paul was there. Not sure how he got there because he's supposed to play a basketball game against the Cavs.
Chris, woo, my man. All right.
I don't know. So I guess that's why it was. I guess it was that he was DNP coach's decision in Cleveland the next day.
He was. So he was. That's right. Wow. Okay.
So yeah. So I'm not even sure exactly what happened there, but he was there. And yeah, I mean, we just had all these basically these VIPs from Turner and from CAA and Tiger and Phil's camp, you know, from XL Sports and Legadere. And I mean, it was just like I said, it was just this very well heeled, champagne sipping crowd, cigar smoking guys, you know, with their group. I mean, there were friends of, you know, broadcasters and so on and so forth. I mean, if you didn't know somebody, you just weren't going to be there. Michelle Wee, of course, even was there. Right. I forgot to mention her. And Jimmy Handlin from Fox Golf Show that he got tickets through Natalie Gulbis, who I think we heard on the air maybe, what, twice?
Yeah, with like a four-hour gap.
Yeah, easy work if you can get it. I mean, yeah. I want to be her when I come back. So anyway, but that was the crowd. They were a good crowd. They were respectful. They, you know, they were a lively crowd. They did give some go Phil, go Tigers here and there. You know, but hey, look, I mean, Barkley said it best. You're watching some crappy golf, and it wasn't that they played bad. They weren't sharp, and the course was set up for scoring, and they weren't scoring.
Yeah.
They had chances to score, and they didn't. When you're not playing great, and you're not doing the smack talk thing, what do you got? I mean, really.
Yeah.
You got tap in pars.
Sure. Were they giving out free booze? I heard they were giving out free booze.
Are you kidding? I even had free
booze. Good. You needed it.
I do know that my son gave me a sip of his free booze,
okay.
And there was a lot of it. And he's there at 9:30, and they had food out at 9:30, and they had food out at noon, and they had more food out at 5.
Okay.
And they had cigars, and they had a full bar inside the tent there. They had another bar on the driving range, and when the guys were warming up, and couches out there, and you know, they're throwing free hats around, and all sorts of stuff that just all these niceties for the crowd. And mm-hmm. And look, let's face it, if you were in that group of about 1,500 people or so, that was a pretty cool experience to walk around Shadow Creek and watch these two guys play golf. That was very cool.
Sure.
What do people get at home, though?
Yeah.
Sure. So Chris Paul sat out. He gave your Cavs a win, but he was at the match. That's really interesting. You mentioned the course. It did look like it was set. Yeah, you mentioned that it was set up for scoring, and it did look like that with especially the hole placements. But the greens looked terrible, especially from the drone footage. They looked like they had just been punched. I know none of the guys, the Tiger or Phil, didn't complain about that. But you know, Tiger missed obviously that short putt on number two, and I wonder if privately they were unhappy with the greens.
They didn't look that great, Alex, but at the end of the day, they had punched those about 2 weeks before.
Okay.
They had filled in pretty well. I walked on the 10th green a little later after these guys had played it, and it seemed fine.
Okay.
I would say that it was 100% in the greatest shape, but I'd give it a 95.
Okay.
And 95 is way better than we see at a lot of U.S. Open. So
sure.
Anyway.
You mentioned nerves. I mean, did you get that sense, Dave, that these guys were actually starting to feel the moment, both in the sense that they wanted to win, but also a lot of the success of this event was on them to perform?
Totally. Absolutely. The one thing I did notice on the times I was watching it on TV as opposed to walking around, I kind of did both. We'd have these little loops that we'd walk, and then we'd come in and say, okay, what are we missing on the tube or whatever, and you heard like a lot of heavy sighing, and you know, they just seemed like, and they played slow too. They were very slow, and that in a sense shows, I think, how nervous they were as well, because they're trying to gather themselves for each shot and putting a lot of effort into it. I mean, Phil said he was jittery for 3 or 4 days, and Tiger, he showed up at 8:30 in the morning. I think Phil got there at like 10, and Tiger was just like, people were saying that he truly was kind of a nervous wreck over this thing. You know, I think maybe some of that was he hadn't played. I'm not sure what else went into it, but you know, they're carrying a big load. It was a big risk for Turner. They know that they've got to perform. I think nerves definitely played a role in it.
Both outwardly when talking to Turner executives and kind of organizers, but also just reading between the lines, what do you think their reaction was to the event as it was happening and in the immediate aftermath?
I think they kind of liked it as it was happening, not really paying attention to, you know, the the true nitty-gritty of what they were expecting, because I think that they were truly enjoying themselves, especially those that were there. I think in the aftermath, they're probably saying to themselves, what did we pay for there? What did we just pay for? And are we going to continue to pay for that? And I think the answer is they're going to do another one because they have to show that they can truly do this differently. And obviously after the VR explosion and having to refund all these 1999s, I think that they're going to have to, from a financial model, try and do this again to kind of stoke the break-even point. So, but I don't think they thought they got what they wanted.
You wrote that David Levy was happy with the initial numbers, and this was while the match was kind of still going on, and I guess before, obviously, they decided to refund all the money. But have you heard anything more on the numbers, and are they still as upbeat, I guess, about those numbers?
I have an email into David just to say, hey, pleasure meeting you in person. I want to, follow up on our conversation at the turn about the numbers, and, can you release those? What did you think overall? How many did you have to refund?
Right.
Is that number out there that you can share? Those are the questions I have. I haven't heard back yet. It may take a couple days before they truly have a grasp of all of that, especially now that they got to deal with the refunds. If they're just dealing with counting the $20 bills coming in, it'd be something else.
Right.
I wonder how much, this is kind of a different way of looking at it, but I wonder how much you had said, well, what we basically got was Shell's Wonderful World of Golf. I wonder how much they were saying, well, you know what? That's a product that the vast majority of the golf audience, certainly like the millennial golf audience, never was exposed to. So reintroducing that concept to this crowd with, faces and names that they know and identify with is actually a great idea and fine. So reinvigorating an old idea isn't so terrible. I mean, is that ultimately what it's going to be?
Right. It's not necessarily terrible. It's just not what it was supposed to be.
Right.
And I think that this golf, I think the golf audience that wanted to buy this, I think they know Shell's Wonderful World of Golf from Golf Channel, and certainly they can find it on YouTube. And so they're certainly, even if they haven't seen very much of it, they know what it is. And I don't think that in today's day and age that sells. I just don't think it does. I think that this concept, they did it because they knew that it could sell. And then they just, especially you have to look at Tiger. I just wanted to talk about that real briefly. Tiger's personality does not play into this concept.
Right.
I mean, he's a taciturn individual when he's on the golf course. He's focused. He's fiercely competitive. And he turns in on himself. And we see that. We have always seen that. Even when he came back after the scandal and he tried to be more engaging with the crowds, I mean, he expresses his showmanship through playing the game. There's Phil Mickelson expresses it in many ways, including playing the game. And so it's going to be hard going forward unless they do a team thing. That's why I argued for teams.
Right.
At least, Phil doesn't have to carry the whole load. He can banter with Tiger and they can talk smack then to like I said, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, who I think would never leave an ounce of free airspace between the two of them. And I think it has possibilities. It just doesn't have possibilities as a rematch.
You know, it's interesting because we mentioned Shell's Wonderful World of Golf and obviously the Skins game. This was the 10-year anniversary that it went off the air. People were saying, why are they doing this now? But it actually probably was the best time to do it because you had this void of these kind of, those two events. So I wonder, is that why they were particularly maybe positive about kind of, it's like you said, I mean, it is a golf event when it's all said and done. For them to think of this as kind of a new idea was a little far-fetched. Don't you think?
Agree. Absolutely. I mean, it was like, okay, yeah, this has never been done before.
Right.
I mean, Monday Night Golf.
Monday Night Golf. Sure.
Or whatever, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know why they thought this was groundbreaking, except for the things that were supposed to be in there that never really got in there to the degree that, that I think that that the people that paid the bills at Hope, the Turners of the world, and VR Live and Warner Media, I don't think it got in there to the extent. And therefore, even Mark Steinberg and Steve Loy, who were the respective agents for Tiger and Phil, said this is going to be different because you're going to see so much more of them and the personality and their interplay and all that. And we never got there.
No.
We just never really got there to a degree that you said, wow, this really is different. This is cool. The only really big difference was money.
Right.
Money.
Right.
That's it.
I was going to say the most we ever saw of either of these guys was in the 24/7, I thought. I mean, they were both, it almost seemed like they were making stuff up about kind of how tight they were, but at least you kind of got a little more insight into the characters themselves. We said this last week too, that we thought Mickelson would obviously be more comfortable in this type of environment than Tiger, but let's be honest, don't they need Tiger to make this work and to make future ones work? He is the guy who's driving these events.
Tiger will be in any and all of whatever ones they do from here on out, regardless of what I just said about his personality, because he's Tiger, and you can't do it without him. That's why this partnership is important, is Tiger and Phil, not only business partners, but I think down the road we're going to see them playing together more, and that's the way this is going to work, and I've said it. You've got to find people are even saying you got to put Patrick Reed in there with somebody. I'm like, Patrick Reed is not a great personality to play, to put in there. I mean, he's fiery, but again, his showmanship is through his golf. You need, like I said, Pat Perez, who would be talking smack for 18 holes starting on the practice range.
Right.
You need people who can respond, who know it's a show. That was what it was supposed to be, was a show.
Right.
It was supposed to be entertainment wrapped up in a golf match. And instead, we got golf match with very little entertainment.
Yeah, I think people kind of forget how much dead time there is while you're walking to a shot. In this case, it looked like there were even some holes where there were long walks to the next tee. You need to fill that space, and outside of a few conversations that we heard from Tiger and Phil, which weren't the greatest, still we'd rather hear that than the announcers like in a normal telecast. But you're right. You're right. Patrick Reed is screaming and yelling and stuff when he makes a big putt or something, but he's not filling the dead air with the Tuck.
Justin Thomas would fill that air.
How
brash he can be, and he's got a great personality. He loves to talk. Hell, would Jordan Spieth will just fill the air talking to Mike? All I'm saying is the formula going forward can't just be about. I mean, do you really think if you put Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka out there that you'd have a show?
No way.
As much as you have two great players, you're just not going to. It's not going to be a quote unquote show, and that's what this is supposed to be, and it was what we were promised. And if I paid $19.99, I would be sit there saying, "I love Tiger and Phil, but what am I getting here?" What am I really getting?
Right. The way it finished with the made up hole. 93 yards and everything, and they had to cut the hole and everything with the lights. I wonder, I assume that Tiger and Phil had practiced that shot before. Do you know?
I don't know.
Really?
No, I don't, actually. That's a great question. I would think that they might have, at least on Tuesday, when they had the press conference, I knew they were out there.
Okay.
And they had to know that they were going to run out of daylight if it went more than 18 holes.
Right.
They probably could have played 18 a couple times if they had played faster and wouldn't have needed that hole.
Right.
But, and some people say it's convoluted, this makeshift little par three or so. You know what? That's okay, because it was still kind of riveting. It was interesting that they had to, hit these shots in the dark. And at the end of it, it was kind of a cool. I thought it was okay. Some people didn't like it. I thought it was kind of cool.
All right. Well, but if they weren't practicing and there was really $9 million on the line, that then leads me to kind of believe there. There's some conspiracy theories out there that the full $9 million maybe wasn't up for grabs. That to me makes it seem like it's possible it wasn't, because I don't know. I don't care who you are. If there's $9 million on the line, I think you would want to at least practice that shot.
But there's no way they didn't practice it. They both practiced it. I mean, the fact that Tiger put his lob wedge on a tee leads me to believe
he missed the green.
I understand
twice.
That, but he was committed to this idea three times in a row. So he obviously thought that that was the way to play the hole based on something that he experienced earlier.
I don't know.
You want to hear Phil being Phil, his explanation was, well, Tiger put that ball on the tee, and what he doesn't realize, or maybe he forgot to realize, is that when you put it on the tee, you hit it a little higher on the club face, it takes a little spin off, and it goes 5 yards farther. Oh!
He's right. It did go 5 yards
farther. I didn't know that. So he's like, Phil being Phil, the scientific, technical aspect of it whatever. But he knew that, so he always hit the green, because he took a little off, and it was just, whatever. And, that was sort of off to the side after the press conference. We asked him about it, why, was he surprised that Tiger, struggled, and he gave a technical answer. Well, Tiger didn't realize I was higher off the club, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay, great. All right. Tiger screwed up. But I agree with Sam. They had to have practiced it. But,
okay.
I just don't know. I do know, I'm talking to Amy, that Phil probably worked harder in this offseason than he has in a while for one event.
Right.
And we don't know what Tiger's been doing.
Right.
We have no idea. So,
and
going back to 24/7 just real briefly, what does it say about the golf show that we saw on Friday when 24/7 the week prior was more interesting?
Oh, yeah, that, without a doubt. I mean, of course they did. They had more time to, I guess, condense, but maybe not too much more. Yeah, I don't know. You mentioned Amy right there. You had in your story that she said something kind of, very nice as they both went to the tee, how she was so happy to see them, doing this together. But you said it kind of hinted that it wasn't going to be that real, trash-talking competitive that we'd been promised. But is that true? She kind of laid the atmosphere there.
I don't think she meant to, but certainly, as it went along, and I went back to that comment, and I went, oh, well, that makes sense now, that maybe why Phil pulled his punches there.
Right.
When Tiger was, when he got up and Tiger was, missing fairways and missing putts and making bogeys, maybe that was why Phil, all of a sudden went, I'm not going to embarrass the greatest player of all time.
Right.
I'm just going to, because now he's my friend.
Right.
And it just made more sense what she said in the context of what happened.
Sure, sure. What was the interaction like with them before? And I don't know, did you get to see any of the after stuff with Tiger and Phil?
The interaction before was pretty light. They didn't say a lot to each other. They had a couple of, seemed like inside jokes that they were sharing on the practice putting green at 11 o'clock when the pregame show started. And of course, that was orchestrated to be on the green when the pregame show started to have them there. They didn't say much when they hit balls on the range. And afterwards, they just did their responsible, they took the responsibilities, to the, standing in front of the money and Phil getting the belt. And then we had 15-minute press conference was all they gave us. And, then they were out. That was it.
Hmm. All right. Well, Dave, thanks for joining us. It had everybody talking. Let's say that at least.
No question.
Yeah, and we'll see. It sounds like you think obviously there will be some sort of rematch if it maybe involves a couple. So who your dream rematch then would be? Who a 2-on-2?
Yeah, I think you got to have Phil and Tiger against whomever. And my suggestion was you get the generational thing with
right.
the two young stars, Jordan and Justin.
Right.
They like each other. They both respect Tiger and Phil tremendously, but not so much that they wouldn't, have some great interplay with them. They wouldn't toy with them. They wouldn't, give them the needle. And I think obviously they're good enough to play too. So
sure. It's, sure.
Four great players and, interaction.
From a golf standpoint right now, Justin Thomas is the superior player, but if you're really trying to engage a casual golf audience, people would say it should be Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
But he, like Dave would probably say too, he's not as much of the showman.
I'm just saying from a name standpoint.
Yeah,
fans involved,
that's
kids
true.
Involved,
casual fans especially. Yep.
His name has more.
No, no question, Ricky would be at the very top of the list, even ahead of Koepka and Dustin.
Yes.
But you could put Ricky, Dustin, and Koepka all together in a threesome against Tiger and Phil, and you might not get 10 words between the three of them. And Ricky's just, he's just a nice guy who's also, not very, he's not very talkative.
Right.
So it takes a gift for gab. If Lee Trevino were 30 years younger, you'd say TaylorMade for him.
Right.
That's who it would be.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing what happens. We look forward to hearing about the numbers as well. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. We will see you down the road, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Love to do it again sometime, guys. Thanks.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Before we go on, let me talk for a second about Golf Digest Schools. Golf Digest Schools is our new cutting-edge video instruction platform offering more than 250 classes on every part of the game and featuring the leading teachers in golf, from Butch Harmon to David Ledbetter to Michael Breed. Unlike the quick tips you can find across the internet, these are full game improvement programs meant to be followed step by step as if you were working with a pro. It's like Masterclass meets Netflix, but even better because there's the added promise of feedback. To sign up for Golf Digest Schools, go to golfdigest.com/allaccess and use promo code SCHOOLS to get 30% off an annual subscription. Again, golfdigest.com/allaccess and use promo code SCHOOLS.
Thanks again to Dave for joining us. All right, guys, there were other things going on in golf, not even necessarily on the golf course. I wanted to talk about another The Match, and we had two weddings squaring off.
Hey, look what you did there.
You like that?
Nice.
Like that transition? We had the wedding of Austin Johnson and Sam Maddox. Yes,
right.
Sam Maddox, who, of course, Austin Johnson is the brother of Dustin Johnson and his caddy. And then you had on Saturday the wedding of Jordan Spieth to Annie Varett.
It'd be so great if we had the details of the weddings, like what the
what
the hors d'oeuvres were, what the main course was,
right.
Wedding band versus DJ.
We
could really break it down.
Exactly.
So great.
What booze did you have?
Instead, we got almost nothing, well, particularly from Jordan's wedding, which is not much of a surprise. He's pretty closed mouthed on stuff like that.
Yeah, he's private about that kind of stuff.
Even the engagement was very, low key. It kind of leaked.
There was still a picture, though. I mean, I haven't seen a thing from the wedding.
Exactly.
Like the engagement, at least, we got.
We haven't seen anything. And so, obviously, there was a strict... Rory did the same thing. Rory did the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah,
strict,
that's right.
No photo. No social media.
I had no social media my wedding, because my wedding predated social media.
Wedding was like 20 years ago.
People were sending, taking pictures, putting in the mail, sending it out to people.
We had carrier pigeons delivering messages.
But no, it did say it's crazy though, because you would think that two people in golf would kind of spread it out a little.
You think that there was?
You think they were talking about this?
You think that George would be like, oh,
it's two of the top American players. They're teammates. Like, so obviously Jordan Spieth didn't go to Austin Johnson's wedding, and vice versa. They must know each other.
Well, I mean, you're saying because Dustin couldn't go to Jordan's wedding.
Right, and Brooks Koepka went to Dustin's wedding, obviously. So you're picking sides here.
I don't think
that happens. Like college friends, didn't you have the same deal? I have two of my best friends got married on the same day. I mean, it's not that it happens.
I never had to. Yeah, I never had to pick between two good.
I did. I had
wedding.
To pick two of my best friends, literally.
Really?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
And it was a golf angle to it because I had to go to the British Open the next day.
Okay.
So I chose the one on the East Coast.
Twist.
True fact.
That's smart. I missed one of my best friends from college wedding because of the U.S. Open. I wasn't even going. I just had to work. So anyway.
Wow.
No. But hang on. When your friends overlapped, they weren't from the same group of people. They were like a high school group and
a
college
group. It was like a broad group. And then they were guys who I grew up with. But
they didn't
weren't,
know each other.
They did, but not they weren't great friends.
Right. These are the golf.
But that's, I mean, you just got married. You're about to get married. Like, arranging a place and, their family.
Exactly.
And if someone's having hip surgeries, so you have to do it the week before. There's a lot of elements beyond.
And you're so wrapped up in your own thing.
Right.
When you're planning your wedding, you're like, okay, I need to get all these things done. Boom, 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 boom. I have the venue. Love it. Locked. And then you talk to Dustin Johnson and be like, oh, shoot, yeah, your brother.
That would be a great inside story, like an oral history of the deliberations between the Spieth camp and the Johnson/Maddox camp.
Is there that much overlap in their friend groups on tour?
I don't know.
I feel like it's not that bad.
We don't know.
You're right.
We don't know.
It would be a little more, eye-opening, I guess, if it was Jordan and Dustin on the same day.
Right.
Than Jordan and Austin, I guess.
Right.
I still think it's a little interesting. Also interesting, Jenna Sims, Brooks Koepka's, she goes to a wedding every week,
right,
like you, Keely, and some of the other younger members of our office.
Every 28-year-old on the planet.
This was Brooks' first one that he went to.
I saw that.
And it's funny because I've actually noticed every time she posts wedding photos, he's not with her because he's playing.
Playing
he's got
golf.
Like big. But so he finally ran out of excuses.
Maybe he's anti-wedding.
He's anti-wedding.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Brooks got out there on the wedding scene for the first time also. So that's a note. All right. Best one-day story. And this might be the best story of the year.
Your guy?
Ho Sung Choi, my man. It started back in, what was that, June?
That was in June. It was after the US Open.
Yeah, I woke up with the baby, middle of the night. People are going crazy on Twitter. Ho Sung Choi, nobody had ever heard of this guy, let's be honest.
No.
I see these highlights. You laugh out loud when you watch his swing. It's the most absurd thing. Now, I know if you slow it down, and Keely, I know you're more of a swing guru. His like downswing and everything and impact is perfect.
That
like he
good.
Smokes it. But then he, you know, the takeaway is like this weird up and away. It's like a drill. And
the
then the follow through, he like falls over almost. And his reactions are amazing. I mean,
yeah.
he's like goes down to his knees. He's flailing around. Anyway, Ho Sung Choi.
Tiger
won.
Woods and Ho Sung Choi versus Phil Mickelson and Jordan Spieth in the match.
I need it. I need it. I'd pay $50, $100 for it. He won the Casio World Open in Japan. It's it's actually his second win on the Japan Golf Tour, but I think it might be his first since he like reinvented his
since he became
swing.
Ho Sung Choi.
Yeah, yeah. Since
boldface.
The fisherman swing. But it's a pretty big event. He moved up about 150 spots in the world ranking. He's up to 209.
Hey.
He's getting close to WGC.
Masters invite.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's honestly not that crazy. Our boy Big Sharma, Shubhankar Sharma, got a Masters invite last year out of nowhere.
Right.
They are always trying to grow the game. They're looking to Asia. They do the winner of the Asia Amateur. Ho
he
Sung
checks
Choi.
The Asian golf / crazy swing box.
Also, he's 45, so if it's going to happen,
yeah.
It needs
now
to happen now. But anyway, do yourself a favor if you have not seen this guy swing or whatever. It's pretty amazing. He lost his thumb when he was a teenager. He didn't pick up golf till he was in his 20s. Anyway, we love Ho Sung Choi. He is electric. We hope to see more of him. All right. This week in Pros Are Just Like Us, Aaron Rye. He's an English golfer. He won the Hong Kong Open, the first event on the Euro Tour, which they take even less of a break than the PGA Tour. They just
roll it out
right back up. Anyway, what's interesting about him is we always use iron head covers as like this joke, like how to look like an idiot on the golf course. He actually has iron head covers.
What a nightmare.
I've never seen anyone with them.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh my
never.
God.
Like we always.
Yeah.
I worked in the bag room for like 5 summers.
Oh, well, then you would see some, I assume.
The worst.
Yeah.
You have to take every one
yeah,
of them
it's
off.
So obnoxious.
Clean the club, put them back on.
It's
horrible
pointless,
invention.
Obnoxious, and it looks
well, what
stupid.
If this guy suddenly becomes a huge star and there's
they
like
might catch
the
on?
Forces? No, or oh. Like the yeah, the forces of golf yeah. Are like conspiring to bring him down because they don't want him to suddenly become this trendsetter. Like he starts
right.
A movement of iron
yeah.
Covers. And people are like, yo, this guy has to be stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
Like someone, yeah.
But like seriously, have you ever actually seen iron covers?
No, covers? I don't think I have. I think it's like a running joke in the
it's
office.
It's a running
for,
joke,
yeah.
But it's like
it's real, guys.
It's been a running joke for so long that no one has actually seen right. It. There are these relics. And he has them. And he has a putter cover that's tattered. I mean, holes. And this guy is a stud golfer on the European Tour. I couldn't believe it. So Aaron Rye, look out for him as well. And
as good
crazy
as Ho Sung is for golf, that's how bad.
Yeah, we don't
right.
Want
we don't
this to catch
these.
On. It looks terrible. Okay, our nugget stat of the week involves Phil Mickelson. And this is amazing. Phil is, when the world rankings came out this week, he was in the top 50 easily, of course. He's number 27. He did not get world ranking points, by the way, for being Tiger. People wanted to know about that. He has now been in the top 50 in the world ranking for 25 straight years. I mean, that is insane.
Right.
Also, little note here, he first broke into it in 1993 with a runner-up finish at the Casio World Open. In Japan,
come on. Whoa,
which
look
is
at
where
that. Bookends.
Ho Sung Choi
wow,
won.
It all
so
back.
It all ties back.
What would be
to
great
Ho Sung
if you were really impressed with that stat, yeah. Was you would have, as an example, like the guys who have fallen in and out of the top 25, or like number of times.
Top 50?
What did you say about him? Top 50. It was 25
yeah.
years.
25 top years in top 50. Yeah.
Like the guys who have fallen in and out, a number of times Tiger's been in and out of the top 50.
Oh, yeah.
Over that period of time. Because that's where you don't have enough of an appreciation for how good it is until you realize how easy it is to fall out of the top 50.
That's a great point. It's so easy to fall out. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, like a Bill Haas this year. Mm-hmm. Bill Haas was in the top 30 for, what, 5-6 years in a row. He had one bad year. He's in the 150s mm-hmm. or something. I mean, you fall if you don't do anything. And top 50 is now the big thing. You know, obviously, everybody wants to be number one, which, again, crazy, Phil's never been number one. But top 50 gets you into so many events and everything else. And that Phil's been able to maintain, it's amazing because the guy, we're making fun of him breathing heavily, being mic'd up. He sounds like he's never, you know, hit the treadmill in his life or anything. But yet this guy, for 25 straight years, has maintained such a high level at his sport.
And just refresh my memory, he had a wrist injury after the 2007 US Open. He's never really had any major injuries.
Of course.
He has arthritis, which is really
legit. He has arthritis.
That's something that I was going to say. That's true. Been able to do that. I mean, the toll that takes on your joints and then the toll that a golf swing takes on your joints.
He's always talked about how his swing is conducive for longevity. It doesn't have this violent action. It's very flowing and things like that. But he still goes at it though.
You're still putting the reps in. I mean, it's
totally. I'm just saying, like, it's not this violent jerking action that some guys are certain have. So,
It's pretty amazing. And I mean, you mentioned Tiger alone. He's dropped out in a bunch of times. That Phil stayed in there. Phil almost went out this year. That's what I was gonna say. 49th in the world.
I remember
hearing that this stat might come to an end, and then of course he won World Golf Championship, and he's safely in there. So anyway, congrats to Phil. He won $9 million, and he 25 straight years in the top 50. That's pretty remarkable. All right, coming up this week, we just want to mention we got the Hero, obviously the Hero World Challenge. We'll see Tiger again.
So that
was kind of his tune up for this event down in the Bahamas now, and.
It's a year of Tiger being back.
Exactly. This is the year anniversary of him really coming back and showing some signs of life. So it's been an important tournament for him. In 2011, he won.
Right, and started his three-win year.
Yep, exactly. He beat Zach Johnson. He also lost one time to Zach Johnson when Zach Johnson holed out from the fairway.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Did he lose to Graham McDowell one year, too?
He lost to Graham McDowell.
Right.
He's also won it about 50 times. But
ten-guy tournament?
Yeah. Hey, it's up to 18 now. 18, and we'll have Dustin Johnson fresh off the wedding.
Did he have to do a best man speech? I'd love to get the speeches. Oh, that would be so good.
Oh, yeah, speeches.
I need a transcript. Is it like a paragraph long? his normal answers are like a sentence long.
Don't do it. It's too rich.
Guys, what do you expect from Tiger this week?
I think he's going to be playing a bit better than we saw at the match. I just generally felt like Tiger was a little rusty. He was kind of that off season. Like, I came off of such a high. He wasn't sharp enough. And I think that having to play under the amount of pressure that he did, that he's going to show up looking and feeling pretty good.
I tend to agree with that. And like we talked about before, I also think just that format was not conducive for him.
For Tiger
just
play.
His personality and,
totally.
You know, trying to yuck it up. He's still a warrior. He's still a guy who likes to ice the other 17 guys in the field or whatever it is. And I feel like he will embrace that this week.
I think if he was – I agree. I think, you know, and Darren Clark – I should mention Darren Clark did a really nice job.
I agree.
And he knows Tiger pretty well too, so that helped. But Darren Clark kept saying – if he wasn't mic'd, we'd be hearing Tiger cursing so much more.
Oh, right.
And I think the same thing with you. If they weren't playing for $9 million and they were playing a casual round, I think Tiger does have that gear. But when it's like, oh, okay, guys, put on a show for us.
Yes. You know, it's like, it's like, you know, they always talk about the most legendary game ever played was that intra-squad scrimmage with the Dream Team.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like, and they had that one footage of a gymnasium camera.
Right.
So that's what you would want. The ideal pay-per-view event would be surreptitious video.
Right. They don't really know they're being filmed, though. Yeah. But they also have mics.
I would pay $10,000.
Yes. So many rights issues there.
Like human rights issues.
Yeah. So anyway, we have that to look forward to as well. So golf season never ends now.
It never ends. And I'm going to Florida for Christmas, so I'm coming back.
Hey, wow.
Look at me. By the way, I'm going to Florida for Christmas.
Oh. So.
Are you just going to stay through January?
I might. PGA show. Get myself ready.
Wow.
LPGA season opener. Ball hotless testing. Yeah. All these things. Think about it.
I know. I gotta stay sharp. It's going to be a big 2019.
Stay sharp.
Huge 2019. And it's obviously already been a big 2018. It'll keep on going this week with the Hero World Challenge. Thanks again, guys, for chatting about the match. Obviously, thanks to Dave Shedlosky for joining us. And please check back next week to see who our guest is.